Turn with me, if you would, back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, we really do only have one message to preach. Every time we stand up here, we preach the same message. Same message. But we look at the same message from different angles. And we see different things in it. Sometimes we look at deep things. Deep to me, anyway. I'm not a very deep person. Kind of a shallow person, but deep to me. Sometimes we look at dogmatic things, very dogmatic things. Sometimes we look at loud things. Sometimes I feel like a message is just loud. But sometimes we look at quiet things, relaxing things, peaceful things. Those are the kind of things that I thought would be enjoyable to look at tonight. Like Brother Henry Mahan said one time, he said, "You must have the meat and potatoes of the gospel every time it's preached. In every message that is preached, you must have the meat and potatoes of the gospel." But he said a little salad and ice cream sure is nice too. Being in that frame of mind, that salad and ice cream frame of mind, I settled on Ephesians 4. And it has been a little while since I've preached from this chapter, especially the verses that we're going to look at tonight. But I did say to myself when I came here, I said, "Now, you have preached from this chapter many times." I went to sermon audio to see, when was the last time I preached from this chapter? And it's been quite a few years. It's been a while. But I said to myself, you've been here many times, and then this thought went through my mind. I don't think you all will mind if we're in Ephesians 4 again. I'm telling you this because this was a real blessing to me. I literally was sitting in my study and I thought, I don't think they'll mind. I don't think you'll mind if we're in Ephesians 4 again. 10 years from now, if we're still looking at Ephesians 4, you wouldn't mind, would you? Think about this, okay? 20 years from now, 20 years from now, if I am still having you turn to Romans 8 or Ephesians 1 or Isaiah 53 or Psalm 23 or Psalm 27 or Psalm 51, you wouldn't mind, would you? That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing, isn't it? I was talking with one of the brethren Sunday night about this in the hallway there. We have one message to preach, and to God's people, it is alive and fresh every time we hear it, every time we preach it. Don't you love God's Word? Don't you just love? Aren't you so thankful for God's Word? It stands alone whether a man comments on it or not. All we need to do is read it. We're so blessed to have it. But I just wanted to tell you that because that really is a blessing to think about. All right, Ephesians 4. I just asked our brother to read the first 16 verses for our scripture reading because that's what I thought our text was going to be tonight. As I started into this, I didn't make it that far. Let's go down through the verses and I'll show you how far I got. Ephesians 4, verse 1, it says, the Apostle Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." That's about how far I got. I did get a little farther than that. Do we realize what a blessed statement that is? Honestly, do we realize what a blessing that is? We read that and we just pass right over it, and the reason is because we know that Paul was an actual prisoner in Rome. We know that this was written from Rome. He was sitting in a prison cell. And he said, I therefore the prisoner. And that just, okay, well, he's a prisoner. And it passes right over our head. But if we stop for just a second and really think about what our brother just said spiritually. Every physical thing in this book points us to a spiritual thing. Every physical thing points us to a spiritual thing. And he just said, I am the prisoner, not of Rome, but of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that word of, in my center margin, it says that word means in. He said, I am the prisoner in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a prisoner in the Lord Jesus Christ. If a sinner gets a hold of that, that will sound pretty good to him or her. If God ever reveals that to a man or a woman, that'll sound pretty good. What is a prisoner? You say, well, a prisoner is someone who has committed a crime. No, people commit crimes all the time who are not prisoners. A prisoner is someone who has been caught, laid hold of, and put in a place where he can't get out. That's a prisoner. Thank God, Paul said, I am a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a prisoner in the Lord Jesus Christ. He caught me. He laid hold of me. And he put me in a place where I can't get out. What a blessing. What a blessing. He put me in a place where I can't get out. Because of my sinfulness, if I could, I would. If I could, I would. But thank God I can't. I'm being held in the hand of Christ, and Christ is being held in the hand of the Father, and no man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. Not even myself. Not even myself. All of God's people can say that. Thank God. All glory and praise to God. I am and will forever be the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be. That's strange, isn't it? That's strange. But that's what all of God's people want to be. Verse 1, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What is a vocation? I have three questions here. What is a vocation? Number one, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. What is a vocation? The word means a calling. That's what the word means. A calling. People use that word in reference to their career, what they do for a living. That's what their vocation is. This is my calling. This is what I do. Paul said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the career that you have been called to. All right, the second question is, what is the career? What's a vocation? It's a career. What is the career? What is the vocation of God's people? What have all God's people been called to? Here's the answer. Prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live and move and have our being in Christ. Only in Christ. All in Christ. Christ is our vocation. Christ is our vocation. Being in Christ is our calling. What's our calling? Being in Christ. That's the calling of all of God's sheep, all of God's people. We have been called into Him, called into fellowship with Him, called into life with Him, called into the family of Him. That's something that just strikes me every time I really get a hold of that. God's people have been called into the family of God. How amazing is that? As the family of Christ, as the people of Christ, we worship Him. We gather together around Him. That's why we're here right now. We're here for Him. We're not here for us. We need this, but we're not here for us. We're here for Him. We gather around Him. We gather around His Word. This is our calling. This is our calling. This is our vocation. This is our career. If you really think about it, that's what this is. This is our career. This is not just a big part of our life. That's a cliched statement for false religion. You know, that's what people say. You know, it's a big part of our life. This is not just a big part of our life. This is our life. This is our life. And we need to see it that way, and we need to guard against not seeing it that way. You say, well, only, you know, people who haven't seen Christ see it that way. Not so. That's not so. This is our life, and we need to guard seeing it that way and fight against not seeing it that way. You know, we get the mindset of, well, I got this going on, I got that going on, I got to be over here, I've got a lot of I'm involved in a lot of things right now. I'm just involved in a lot of things. But I'm involved in Christ too. No. That'd be like a prisoner saying, well, I got this going on, and I got that going on, and I got to be over here for a while, and I'm going to be over there for a while. I'm just involved in a lot of things right now. But I'm involved in prison too. Being in prison is the life of a prisoner. That's the life of a prisoner. And being in Christ is the life of a child of God. That's the life of a believer, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is our vocation. Christ is our life. So, what is a vocation? It's a career. It's a life calling. What is our career? What is our life calling? Being in Christ. Being happy, being blessed. This is where the illustration parts. What is life in Christ? Happiness. Blessed. Thankful. Paul said, I beseech you as prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Here's the third question. How do we do that? How do we do that? How do we walk worthy of this glorious career that has been given to us? This glorious career, this glorious life, this glorious calling. How do we do that? Verse 2, he said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Doesn't that sound so restful? Quiet, relaxing, peaceful. We live and move and have our being in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we live and move and have our being in the Lord Jesus Christ? We do, but how? How do we live and move and have our being in the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's how. With humility. with humility, not with high-minded pride, with lowly humility. He said, all lowliness. Again, this is where the illustration parts. But a prisoner in an actual prison has every right to be there. Every right. He or she has committed a crime worthy of being there. They have done something worthy to be there. That's not how it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not how it is with prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to be a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, a great blessing has to be bestowed. A great blessing. A great blessing has been bestowed on each one of God's people. A great honor. A great gift. Like when the angel came to Mary and said, thou art highly favored of God. You are highly favored. That means you have been much graced. Much grace has come to you. No prisoner in the Lord Jesus Christ deserves to be there. Not of his own doing. No prisoner of Christ has the right to be there. Not of his own doing. Not of anything he or she has done. No prisoner of Christ has anything worthy of being there. They have committed nothing worthy of being there. Because in Christ, the only thing prisoners receive is blessing and honor and redemption and forgiveness and justification and glorification with Christ. That's all they receive. Every soul locked up in Christ gets the same thing Christ gets. Freely. Freely. Graciously bestowed. There's no room for pride in that. No room for pride at all. Verse 1, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness. That means gentleness. Our Lord said, learn of me. I am meek. I'm meek. I want to do that. He said, with long suffering, that means patience. How do we walk worthy of this vocation? How do we walk and live and move and have our being in Christ? With humility, with gentleness, with patience. Verse 2 says, forbearing one another in love. That means holding one another up. Not tearing each other down. Lifting each other up, encouraging one another, encouraging each other in love, he said. We love because God first loved. That's the reason that all of God's people, every prisoner in Christ, that's the reason he or she loves. God first loved. God commended his love. Greater love had no man. Herein was love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sin. By this shall all men know that we belong to God. We love his brethren. Our brethren. Every other prisoner in Christ. Every prisoner in Christ loves each other. Loves each other. Look down at verse 8. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. The margin in my Bible says, a multitude of captives. Captive. When he did that, our Lord led a great multitude on the cross of Calvary. When he ascended up, in the shedding of his blood on Calvary, in the victory of the cross, in his defeat over sin and death and hell, by the sacrifice of himself, through the accomplishment of his death, he led a chosen multitude, a particular multitude of sinners who were captive to sin and captive to the adversary. He took them captive to himself. That's what the Lord did. That was his accomplishment on the cross. He led captivity captive. And in doing so, when Christ did that, he set all of his captives free. He led captivity captive. Took them captive to himself, and in doing that, he set them all free. A sinner being made captive to Christ is a sinner being made free. Every prisoner in Christ is a free man. Being captive to Christ is being captive to love. It's being captive to peace. Back up in verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond. In the bond. Thank God for the bond. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what being bound to Christ is. It's being bound to love. Bound to love. Shut up inside of love. Shut up inside of peace. Sounds like the place I want to be. Can't get out of it. Can't get out of it. Being bound to prison is a horrible thing. Being bound to Christ is heaven. It's heaven. All of God's people have been given a life sentence. A life sentence. Aren't you so glad? All of God's people have been given a life sentence to love and peace and joy and goodness and happiness. We don't know that down here. Honestly, that's not how I would describe life on this earth. How would you describe everyday life on the earth? Well, love and peace, joy, goodness, and happiness. Does that sound life on this earth? No. But that's what it is in Christ. And by faith, we know and we believe that's what we have been shut up to, and that's what's coming. That's what's coming. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We are bound to it. We're imprisoned to it. And I'm so glad. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're bound to it. And it's because we're bound to Him. Ephesians 2 verse 14 says, He is our peace. We're bound to Him. He is the one that broke down that middle wall of partition, so making peace. He's the one. And what Paul is saying right here is, because he did that for us and gave that to us, that love, that peace, that unity, and because we're shut up into it and can't get out of it, let's nurture it. Let's embrace it. Let's endeavor to cherish it. Because verse 4, he said, there is one body. There's just one body. And we have been included in it. We have been included in it. Christ is the head. We're the body. One day, real soon, we're going to know what that means. We're going to experience what that means. We're going to completely enjoy what that means. Verse 4 says, there's one body and one Spirit. In this glorious, saving captivity of Christ, there's only one Spirit here. The Scripture says it's the Spirit of truth. It's the spirit of holiness. It's the spirit of life. It's the spirit of adoption. It's the spirit of meekness. These are the different ways that the Scripture refers to the Spirit. The spirit of grace, the spirit of glory, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One Spirit. Verse 4 says, there's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. There's one hope. That hope is Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says, there's one Lord. That Lord is Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says, there's one faith. That faith is Jesus Christ. There is one baptism. That baptism is Jesus Christ. Baptized into Him, immersed into Him, and can't get out. That's my favorite part about this. Can't get out. Verse 6 says, there's one God, and that God is Jesus Christ. And Father of all. Is there a heavenly Father? Yes, there is. But He is seen and known in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to see the Father? Look at Jesus Christ. He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you're in Christ, this God and Father of all, verse 6 says, who is above all and through all, is in you all. We're in Him. He's in us. We're in Christ. In Christ, everything is one. There's one, one. That's what He keeps saying. There's one. Everything is one. We are in Christ. The Father is in Christ. Heaven is in Christ. You want to know what heaven is? In Christ. Salvation is in Christ. The world hears this and will say, I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like the sound of this. That sounds like I'm a puppet on a string. That sounds like I'm a prisoner in a cell. God's people hear it and cry, Lord, incarcerate me. Lock me up to Christ. Lock me up to Christ. There's a song, How Tedious and Tasteless the Hours. One line in the song says, while blessed with a sense of His love, a palace, a toy would appear, and prisons would palaces prove if the Lord Jesus would dwell with me there. If He's not in a palace, it's nothing. And if He's with me in a prison, then that's a palace to me. Lord, keep us by the power of God. Keep us right there in the safety of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray God will call all of us and bless all of us to be prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's all stand together.